Fatah 58 for Hamas. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas says his people are embarking on a new era, and he wants other countries to help restart talks with Israel. Shortly after the polls closed, Abbas said he wanted help to conclude a peace agreement and implement it. Four people have been arrested in connection with the investigation of how money is being spent in Iraq. The audit was conducted by the Special Inspector General for Iraq Reconstruction. It finds fraud, confusion, and incompetence in the way that $88 million worth of contracts were handled. A spokesman for the inspector says the arrests include a controller from the Provisional Authority Office in Hilla, an American contractor, and two U.S. Army officers. Auditors say they found that one official kept $2 million in a bathroom safe, and another kept bundles of shrink-wrapped $100 bills in a filing cabinet. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says reports the military is stretched too thin are either out of date or misdirected. A study conducted for the Pentagon yesterday said the Army is overextended by two wars and may not be able to muster enough troops to defeat the Iraqi rebellion. Congressional Democrats released a report today that also found the military under severe stress, but Rumsfeld insists U.S. forces are enormously capable and battle-hardened. Last year, the Army missed its recruiting goal for the first time since 1999. Former President Gerald Ford out of the hospital. The chief of staff says Ford released from a California hospital where he was admitted 12 days ago for treatment of pneumonia. The spokesman says Ford's doing well. He had been expected to stay only 5 days at the Eisenhower Medical Center in Rancho Mirage. Ford is the oldest living former president at age 92. This is Air America Radio News.
Good evening, truth seekers. My name is Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio. Thank you for tuning into the program tonight. About 3:30 this afternoon, when Molly got up from her nap. For those of you who don't follow the program all the time, Ollie is Kathy and my 18-month-old daughter. When she got up from her nap, we decided to go for a walk. Kind of in the woods near our house, there's a trail. Some people use it as a bike path or a jogging trail. And it's wide enough to take her stroller. You know, we put her in a stroller and go for a walk. The temperature was about 38 degrees out, and there was a strong wind blowing. Actually, the temperature was about 48, but there was a strong wind blowing, so it was cold. So we put Molly in the started at the trailhead, put Molly in the trail, and started going for a walk. And you know, went about 100 yards, and she's saying down, down, down. She doesn't like to be in the stroller anymore. So we let her out of the stroller, and immediately she toddles off down the path. And she just got up from her nap, so she was in a pretty good mood. And, you know, she went from side to side of the trail, going off the trail, picking up things like a pine cone or sticks or a handful of a broken-off pine bough or, what else, Kathy? Leaves, some dry leaves, chestnut, pebbles. And as she picked each one of these items up, you know, she'd be about, 10, 15 yards in front of us. Just yelping and giggling and carrying on. It's incredible to watch. For those of you who have children and can remember what your 18-month-old was like, what he or she did, it's just a rare, rare time. I have five other children, but they are all adults, way, way adults. I have grandchildren. So a lot of this stuff I have forgotten. So there's Molly toddling down the trail, picking things up. It's a gorgeous day here in Atlanta, cold, and bringing these things back and just babbling her little head off. She, she has words. She can put 2-3 words together now. She understands everything, but she's still learning language. But she would bring these things back for me to examine. Now, if you have small children, you know what you have to do. You can't just say, yeah, that's nice. You have to stop, bend down. And when your kid hands it to you, you have to take it in your hand. Now, I say have to, but it's just an absolute joy and delight to be able to do it. You take the pebble or the chestnut or the pine cone in your hand, and you turn it over, and you look at it, and you ooh and ah. Oh, look at this. Look at that. And Molly would stand there for about 10 seconds while I did it, and then she'd stick her hand out, take it back, and off she'd go down the trail to find something else. And, of course, I'm left with just the sheer wonder of it all. You know, how long has it been since I've picked up a pine cone and looked at all those little pointy things and the ridges and looked deep inside the pine cone and see the fibers? How long has it been since I've picked up a chestnut with half of the outer shell off? How long, right? How long has it been since I picked up an old brown autumn leaf that's been laying in the debris and really looked at it through the eyes of an 18-month-old? So it was just a great hour and a half. We were out there for about an hour and a half. And to see this kid, this little kid, discovering all this stuff. All this stuff is new. It's brand new. And that's why the kid takes it to her parent. Look at this! Oh, that's a pebble. No, it's not. You know. Don't name it. If you name it, you kind of confine it. It's, look at this. Oh, that's a pine cone. Now, while we're going through that, you know, I'm realizing while I'm giving her the names of these items she's bringing, I'm kind of shrinking her definition of what it is she's got in her hand. To her, it's wonderment. You know, it's amazing. It's something that feels different from her blanket or her teddy bear or her mama's breast. You know, this is something crinkly or hard or slickery or, you know, all these different. So after about 15, 20 minutes of this, of course, her little hands are just so cold, and her nose is pink, and her cheeks are pink, and her nose is starting to run, and, you know, we get out a tissue. Come here, Molly, come blow your nose. And she does, and off she goes down the path again. And it's really, really, Sam Cedar, who has, how old is Sam's baby, Kathy? About 4 or 5 months? Sam has this, anybody who has a baby, you have this coming to you. It's an amazing, amazing thing to watch this child make her connection to the physical world. To make her connection to the earth, make her connection to all the things that are here. You know, one pebble, one pine cone at a time. It's just awesome. I either missed it with my other children, or I don't remember. But it's unbelievable. Today was a Gymboree day. Kathy or I will take Molly to Gymboree a couple, three times a week. You know what Gymboree is? It's kind of like a health club for kids. You know, they get in there and play and swap germs and viruses, and we call it Gymboree. But Molly loves it. So Kathy took her today, and Molly was in there playing, and one of the instructors came up to Kathy and said, "Oh, I just love to see Molly in here. I was nice to see her grandfather brought her in the other day." And I have to say, it was just wonderful because her grandfather got down on the floor with her, and he just seemed, you know, like he was really having a good time. And Kathy said, "That was my husband." "Oh, it's your husband. Are you married to an older man?" Like, you know, are you married to somebody with three heads?
Actually, the woman was very sweet. She said, "Oh, is your husband, is he a bit older?"
Right.
Whispered like.
Right, right. Does your husband have an extra arm growing out of his back? All this Molly stuff is just absolutely flooding in on me today. And I guess the reason for it, I'm forced to think about this kid's future. Are you thinking about your kid's future? Huh? Isn't it just a bit darker? Jesus, I hate to do this. I hate to sit there or walk with my 18-month-old on a path in the woods in the North Georgia Mountains watching her pick up stuff and bring to me and think how her future is a bit darker and less certain than it was yesterday because this country has inched closer to fascism. I hate this. I hate this. So what to do about it? 23 opposed, 49 in favor. 20 Democrats, 4 Republicans, and Jim Jeffers undeclared as of the end of the day. If there's no filibuster, and there will not be one, and if Samuel Alito is confirmed, here's what you can expect. No FCC, no FDA, no EPA, or protective regulatory agencies. He doesn't believe in it. It's not in the Constitution. No regulation of corporations. Doesn't believe in it. It's not in the Constitution. Federalist society doesn't want it. Unitary executive. That means dictator operating outside the Constitution, outside of checks and balances.
Anything George Bush orders becomes the law. The disingenuousness of Alito sitting there saying, well, no one, the president is above the law. This son of a bitch believes the president is the law.
How can he be above himself? Slick. Slick, Sammy. Really cool.
Roe v. Wade, privacy rights, strip searches of little girls like Molly.
It's right there.
Separation of church and state doesn't exist. Reduce congressional power. The branch of government closest to the people. Uh-uh. He's a federalist. Control. Goodbye to the concept of one person, one vote. It's not in the Constitution. Alito doesn't believe in it. The diminishing of individual free speech. Forget about it! The secret police will end that. The expansion of corporate free speech. Oh, you're damn right. An end to campaign finance reform? What a tacky idea. It's not in the Constitution. Why should there be limits on a person's desire and or ability to send money or a corporation's to anyone he chooses? Due process? Habeas corpus? Doesn't exist. Alito will uphold Bush's international human rights abuses, including the right to torture, or render people to other countries to be tortured. A supposed right to die, which, like the right to an abortion, is a right to privacy. Disability rights, all of it in danger. Rights of the disabled to fully participate in society. That's God's judgment against you. If he wanted you to participate, he would have given you legs that worked. He would have given you lungs that breathed. Stay in your wheelchair. Quit bitching.
Family rights. He's ruled against families on family leave issues.
Remember, Alito won't even consider a federal case that might be brought to the Supreme Court against any member of the Bush cabal.
Think about this.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricidin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricidin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricidin HBP. Use as directed.
Know the greatest phrase ever invented in shopping? No, it's not, I'll just wait in the car. The greatest phrase is, no thanks, I'm just looking. I mean, what freedom, what liberation. What a great way to buy car insurance. In fact, why not do some looking right now? Go to GEICO.com. It's quick, it's easy, and you could save hundreds. You know, saving money looks good on you. GEICO.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
neocons. Don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
It's 23 past the hour, I should say. In about an hour and 13 minutes, we will begin Chapter 2 of George Orwell's 1984. Now, right before the break, enumerating what we can expect with the confirmation of Samuel Alito. Remember that Alito and the other neo-fascists, the Federalists, the members of the new American Nazi Party on the Supreme Court, will not even consider a federal case that might be brought to the Supreme Court against any member of the Bush cabal. And the reason is very simple. In a unitary presidential idea, the power of the executive branch all rests in the hands of George W. Bush. He may do anything he wants to do. They will be immune from prosecution no matter what crimes are discovered in their past or crimes they may commit in the future. Forget about it. The remaining civil liberties that Americans still think they enjoy, from women's rights to voting rights to issues of race, reproduction, religion, all of those freedoms are in danger. They have been under assault from this filthy Bush crime family for 5 years, and this would give Bush effective totalitarian control to completely sever these already fragile threads by which some of the most important freedoms we have are hanging, gone. Now, these are the issues and laws at stake being dismissed by these Senate Nazis as trivial, or as the laughing Senator Chuckles Grassley said, Democrats are grasping at straws. I just hope everybody understands, and I hope you right-wing lurkers that see these sorts of events as nothing more than a sports contest, you sick bastards.
I'm on the Republican side. We're going to win. We're going to beat you Democrats.
I just hope you understand that, you know, there's not going to be two sets of rules. You freaks will have your civil liberties smashed into the ground, too, and the day may come when you wish that weren't the case. Or in your children's lives, because obviously you don't care anyway. Any Republican who's alive today, I don't care if you're 35 or 75, you are a neo-fascist. You really don't care, because if you did, you would have gotten the hell away from this what used to be the Republican Party. You would have declared your independence. You're going along with this. And the only thing I can come up with is because you are willfully ignorant of what's going on here. You just don't care. You just don't care. Okay. Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid met with some lobbyists, progressive lobbyists, on Tuesday, like Move On, people like that, and told them he has nearly 44 votes against Alito, but there are 8 Democratic senators who will not support a filibuster. Now, Reid, only 41 are needed for a filibuster. You got to have those 41. If Reid has nearly 44 votes, then every one of those senators should support a filibuster, or their vote against Alito is meaningless. Meaningless.
My teeth are crazy, my thinking out of state. Never know the secret desire of getting rid of the brain. 100% for Uncle Sam. Take it out of flag, baby.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi. honey.
Yeah?
Can you keep the kids busy? I'm doing our taxes.
Well, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Well, what about deductions?
Found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on the sofa?
What?
The kids.
No, I remembered them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy, taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful. And all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth, and put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Relieve the nightly grind with the Doctor's Night Guard. Now available in three sizes at Brooks Pharmacy, Eckerd Pharmacy, and other fine stores.
Dear Gold Bond, my husband's a carpenter.
And my hands were rough as sandpaper. Here's a real letter from Jean and Tom of New Jersey about our Ultimate Healing Lotion. Then she got me Gold Bond Ultimate.
It works better than any lotion we've ever used.
Gold Bond Ultimate Healing Lotion penetrates fast to help heal rough, cracked skin with 7 intensive moisturizers plus 3 vitamins. It's long-lasting, too.
Now his hands are almost smoother than mine.
Can your lotion do that? Gold Bond Ultimate Healing Lotion. This stuff really works.
It really does.
1 in 4 adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricidin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricidin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricidin HBP. Use as directed.
ready for a liberal helping of truth? It's more of Mike Malloy.
26 before the hour. Again, if any of you right-wingers out there can put together coherent sentences to justify your support of the appointment of Samuel Alito, we'd love to hear from you, because these are your rights and privileges as an American citizen that are hanging in the balance tonight, too. If you think this only applies to liberals, I know most of you do look at it like a professional sports contest, a football game or a basketball game, and you just want your side to keep on, quote, winning, close quote. You can't be that stupid, are you? Well, I'm sorry. Yes, of course you can be. But if there is any logical, rational explanation for your support of Alito, Bush, anybody in the Bush crime family, we'd love to hear it on this program. Love to hear it. Now, we'll get to the Alito thing. We'll talk about it as we go through the evening for sure. This is a little blurb in the New York Times today. The Army, that's our Army, has issued new regulations that one supposes come directly from Rumsfeld. The Army has issued new regulations for carrying out military executions that could allow the death penalty to be administered at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, where more than 500 foreign terrorism suspects are being held. I hate it when they say foreign terrorism suspects. Why not just suspects? How many people have been really charged with anything out of the 500, 600, 700? Six? The regulations issued last week give the Secretary of the Army authority to designate locations for military executions, replacing old rules that required them to take place at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. This could open the way for executions of detainees at Guantanamo, although none of the ten prisoners there who have been charged with war crimes are facing capital punishment. A law signed by President Bush in December bars federal courts from hearing habeas corpus petitions from Guantanamo detainees challenging their confinement. Eugene Fidel, a Washington specialist in military law, said the Bush administration might have feared that bringing detainees to the United States to be executed would allow them to challenge their sentences in federal court once they were no longer at Guantanamo. This is beyond belief. Do you understand this? Apparently there's an article in today's Washington Post or tomorrow's Washington Post about the same thing. This sick bastard George Bush, this paranoid, dry drunk, has used his unitary power to authorize Secretary of Defense to authorize Secretary of the Army to declare that executions, military executions, can be carried out in Cuba. Because if the people condemned to death were brought to the United States, Bush and his crime family are afraid they might use our courts to challenge the death penalty that's about to be administered against them by the United States. This is beyond anything that the Soviet Union ever did. This is beyond Nazism. This is very close to a, and don't people who, you know, I go through this all the time. I make references to Hitler and the Holocaust. I do, and to the death camps. And I know a lot of people, it's a very, very, what's the word I'm looking for? Very exclusive place to go. 6 million butchered by Hitler. But we can go on from that. You know, I can use Holocaust small h. I can look at the 10 million Africans butchered as they were brought here, the 30 million Russians and Ukrainians butchered by Stalin, and the 50 million Chinese butchered by... Okay? This is so close to the beginnings of the death camps. Remember what Hitler did. He set them up in Poland. Bush is setting them up in Cuba. Oh, Mike, come on. These are not death camps. There's not 6 million. He isn't going around rounding up the Jews. No, he's not. That's been done. And the second wave of rounding up the Jews will come when the Christian fundamentalists are convinced they have to do it in order to make Jesus come back. Trust me on that, my Jewish brethren and sistren. You know it's out there. You know it is. So here we are, Guantanamo. Throughout the history of this country, since the army has been doing executions in an institution, that institution has been Fort Leavenworth in Kansas. On U.S. soil. Because heretofore, if we were going to execute someone because a military tribunal decided they violated the laws of the United States or the laws of the U.S. military, we had the decency and the respect for law and the confidence that what we were doing was correct to bring them here to murder them. This son of a bitch in the White House doesn't even have that. Murder them in Cuba. It's just astonishing. And Ben Nelson of Nebraska, get the hell out of the Democratic Party. You hypocritical thug. Get out of the Democratic Party, Nelson. Get out. Get out! Go be what you are. You're a Bush-sucking, neo-fascist Republican. Get out of the Democratic Party. Why don't you people in Nebraska have the courage to force this bastard to be the Republican that he really is? Huh? Ben Nelson is a turncoat. He's a coward. Now, somebody sent me an email last night that said, oh, no, Ben Nelson's... No, he's flipped. He's come back. Really? I don't think so. Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid, yesterday at the Center for American Progress, said, I went to college in the 60s and studied government. One of the things I remember discussing with a quote by Lord Acton, power tends to corrupt and absolute power tends to corrupt absolutely. It's been many years, Reid said, since I graduated college, but I finally understand what Lord Acton meant. Republicans today control the House of Representatives, the Senate, and the White House. They have absolute power and has corrupted their party and led to the culture of corruption we now see in Washington. We have the Republican leader of the House admonished 3 times for ethics violations and under indictment now for money laundering. We have a White House where an employee has been indicted for the first time in 135 years. There's Karl Rove, who is under investigation. David Safavian, the man appointed by Bush to be in charge of hundreds of billions of dollars in government contracts, led away in handcuffs because of his dealings with Jack Abramoff and others. And then we have the Republican K Street Project, which has invited lobbyists inside our nation's capital as long as they are willing to pay the price. Republican abuse of power comes at great cost to our country, and we can see it in the present state of our union. Special interests in the well-connected have grown stronger, while our national security and economy, our health care, and our government have grown weaker. What is the State of the Union in 2006? We have a national security policy that protects Halliburton's bottom line with no bid contracts, but sends our troops to Iraq without body armor. We have Vice President Cheney's energy policy that helped big oil make $100 billion in profit in 2005, but the same policy has Americans paying $70 a barrel for oil and families paying twice as much for heat and gasoline as they did a couple of years ago. We have students priced out of college by skyrocketing tuition and Republicans in Congress who want to cut student loans in order to pay for special interest tax breaks. We have 46 million Americans without health insurance and poverty numbers on the rise, but a president whose economic policies benefit the wealthy and well-connected. This is what happens to the state of our union when leaders put special interests ahead of America's interests. These are the costs of Republican corruption. The question is, will Bush acknowledge this when he delivers the State of the Union next Tuesday night? If history is an indicator, the answer is no. Watching the video earlier, I was reminded of another lesson from college, this one taken from George Orwell in his book 1984. In that book, Orwell spoke of doublespeak, naming something just the opposite in order to cover how unpleasant it is in reality. Bush has been giving us doublespeak for years. He utters platitudes about helping Americans when he's really helping his special interest friends. And it goes on. Right after this break, we'll finish this up. This is Harry Reid at the Center for American Progress yesterday. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hello. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, I'll reward you with $1,000, $100,000, maybe $1 million. But be warned, I can be a man
or a woman.
So keep your Ricola cough drops on hand.
For clues and official rules, go to RicolaUSA.com. No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game begins 10-105 and ends 2-28-06. Ricola!
No matter what you do, work can be stressful. And all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth, to put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Whew! Relieve the nightly grind with the doctor's night guard, now in three sizes at CVS and other stores.
We'll be right back.
Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
It's 10 before the hour. Harry Reid was addressing the audience at the Center for American Progress on Tuesday, and he's talking about Bush and doublespeak. And Reid goes on, when he wanted to let energy companies release more pollution into the air, he called it the Clear Skies Initiative. When he wanted to give tax breaks to his special interest friends, even though it meant adding more than $50 billion to the deficit, he called it the Deficit Reduction Plan. His Leave No Child Behind Act is leaving children behind every day because he refuses to fund it. And his new Medicare drug benefit hardly resembles a benefit for seniors. In his 2005 State of the Union address, Bush said, quote, in the 3.5 years since September 11th, 2001, we've taken unprecedented actions to protect Americans, end quote. It only took 7 months in the winds of Katrina to prove he was wrong. Americans have heard tough talk from Bush over the last 5 years, but the reality is his policies have made America less safe. His record speaks for itself. Just over 4 years ago, bin Laden attacked America and took 3,000 lives. The president said at the time that he wanted bin Laden dead or alive. 4 years later, bin Laden is still on the loose and continues to threaten America. Meanwhile, the number of terrorist attacks across the world has increased, and we now face the risk that Iraq will become what it was not before the war, a haven and launching pad for international terrorism. 4 years ago, Bush declared Iraq, Iran, and North Korea an axis of evil whose nuclear threats we needed to preemptively strike. But 4 years, 2,300 American lives, and more than $250 billion later, we have found that Iraq had no nuclear weapons. Meanwhile, the problem of Iran has been outsourced to Europeans, and North Korea's nuclear weapons program has likely quadrupled. 4 years ago, Bush said in his State of the Union, America will always stand firm for the non-negotiable demands of human dignity, which include the rule of law. But 4 years later, we've heard the president has ignored the rule of law in order to spy on Americans. We've also found that the White House has given the green light to torture, even though it violated our laws and made our troops less safe. After reviewing the Republican record, I know why Ken Mellman and Karl Rove want to play politics with national security in 2006. Instead of having an honest debate about who can keep Americans safe, it's because this is a debate Republicans cannot win. Republicans run good campaigns, but when it comes to actually governing and protecting Americans, they have a record of incompetence. And he goes on and on and on to the point where you just want to get out the ice pick and jam it into your own eye. Sorry, Harry. We know this. We watched it happen. Where were you and the Senate Democrats? Now, this speech he gave was just a couple of days after he apologized, Harry Reid did, to 33 Republican senators singled out for ethics criticism in a report from his office titled Republican Abuse of Power. That's right. Reid put together a report, Republican Abuse of Power, and it named 33 Republicans who have abused power. But he apologized. Because John Cornyn, Republican of Texas, kicked his ass. And Tom DeLay sent word to kick his ass. And Mellman, Republican Party chair, kicked his ass. So Harry jumped back and said, quote, the document released by my office yesterday went too far, and I want to convey to you my personal regrets. I'm writing to apologize for the tone of this document and the decision to single out individual senators for criticism in it. I'm sorry. John Cornyn, one of the lawmakers named, had said to Reid and the press, quote, researching, compiling, and distributing what amounts to nothing more than a campaign ad on the taxpayer's dime raises serious ethical questions. Oh, you piece of human waste. And a statement like that caused Harry Reid to just fold, collapse, like he had hinges on his spine, thud, bang, down on the floor. I'm sorry. Ah. Ken Melman said that the response to the Abramoff scandal should not be what Melman calls partisan hypocrisy. No, let's not have any of that. He went on to criticize Harry Reid for calling the Abramoff affair a Republican scandal. And I like this. Reid has come under fire for his own ties to Abramoff, including accepting money from Abramoff's tribal clients. You see how they do that? This is what was on America Online. I'm sorry. I called you sons of bitches, and I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that you took money and scammed. And I'm sorry. This is the leader of the Democrats in the United States Senate. The day after he issues a factual report, he slobbers all over himself apologizing. God, it's hard to be a Democrat. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio. This is the Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
I thought I'd take a stab at an unorthodox diplomatic solution to the surveillance issue. Here's the deal. I'll show you mine if you show me yours. I'm happy to let Dick Cheney analyze my Google records and discover that my most frequently searched terms are Brad, Angelina, and baby. If the NSA will data mine his computer for the keywords Joseph, Wilson, and wife, the government can eavesdrop on my cell phone calls to my daughter if they give a detailed accounting of their dealings with Jack Abramoff. If NSA spying were really an issue of security, as the all-out media assault by the Bush administration claims it to be, they should accept the deal. But it's not. Rather, this is all part of their neocon dream of an American empire. You see, in a republic, the lives of private citizens are private, while the workings of public servants are public. But in an empire, Caesar's dealings remain shrouded in secrecy, while the spies on citizens looking for threats to the regime. It is up to the Senate to put a stop to this. The emperor is God, mysterious and omniscient. I'm Katrina Vandenhoevel from The Nation, on Air America. For more, go to thenation.com.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old, and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor, and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's
America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. A group of Democratic senators sent a letter to George Bush asking him to detail the changes which need to be made in current wiretap laws. The lawmakers hope to bring an end to the Bush administration practice of monitoring domestic phone calls without getting prior court approval. Illinois Senator Richard Durbin calls the spying program troubling and asks, can any Congress limit this president's power? Durbin says the letter to Bush is rooted in legal considerations, not political ones. Bush has defended the surveillance program as necessary in a time of war. He says it's only been used on a limited basis. Today, George Bush visited the NSA and pointed to the latest tape from Osama bin Laden as part of his defense. He said bin Laden's threats to hurt the American people make it clear officials must tap phone calls and look at emails. Critics say Bush should have gone to Congress for permission to listen without a warrant. The government's going to have to turn over some documents to defense lawyers for Zacharias Moussaoui. The order from a federal judge comes weeks before a trial will begin to determine a sentence for the admitted terrorist conspirator. Moussaoui is the only person to be charged in the U.S. in the 9/11 attacks. Last April, he pleaded guilty to 6 conspiracy charges, but insisted he was not part of the 9/11 plot. He said he'd been training to hijack a plane at a later date, flying it into the White House if the government did not release a radical cleric. In preparation for the sentencing trial, the government has to give the defense team documents describing what officials knew about 9/11, about Al-Qaeda threats, and about 2 of the hijackers. One New York congressman says there should be one person responsible for coordinating health care for Ground Zero rescuers. Staten Island Republican Vito Fisella and Democrat Carolyn Maloney in Manhattan are calling for a 9/11 health care czar. Several rescue workers who spent time on the toxic pile left by the collapse of the World Trade Center have died in recent weeks. At a very young age, Maloney and Fisella predict there will be many more. Rescue workers were exposed to what Maloney called a cocktail of poisonous gases and toxins, pulverized cement, and glass. A Louisiana grand jury going to look into the behavior of police officers in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. The incidents to be investigated include New Orleans police taking cars from a Cadillac dealership. They'll also be looking at the shooting deaths of 2 men said to have fired on contractors. The grand jury is the first to be impaneled in New Orleans since Hurricane Katrina hit in August. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. It's 7 past the hour. So what to do, what to do, what to do? My good friend Will Pitt wrote a piece that was carried by truthout.org. And his suggestion is that the Democrats walk out. Now, Will and I must have been channeling the same muse because I think about 10 days before that appeared, I had suggested that the Democrats get up and walk out as soon as Bush tells the first lie. But I like Will's idea better. Why wait for a lie? The son of a bitch is a lie. Everything about him is a lie. The fact that he claims the presidency is a lie. So let's go with Will's idea. When Bush makes the walk down the aisle with the cheering, orgasmic Republicans, and not a few Democrats leaning over to shake his hand. God, that makes me sick. And he gets to the podium, and he has that simian stupid-ass look on his face. Let the applause die down, and then let it die down again, and then let it die down the third time, because that's usually how long it takes. And as soon as he says whatever it is, that standard opening line, then, as Will Pitt suggests, get up, Democrats en masse, and walk out. But they won't! Not one Democrat will do that. What a shame. No political theater. These are Democrats who want their bellies scratched. They want to continue to represent their district. And they know they can't make waves or, the Republicans will once again in their home state legislatures gerrymander them to the point where they can't even make it back. And besides, 3 years from now, who's to say there's going to be another election? I can remember a couple of years ago talking the nonsensical talk about that, and now it's not so nonsensical anymore. Why should Bush and the Bush crime family give up power? Very simple. To declare a state of perpetual emergency and suspend whatever. And remember, as Alito says, there's no such thing as one person, one vote. But what is this nonsense? Where did this come from? But as my good friend Will Pitt points out to the Democrats, you are being compared to Osama bin Laden all over network television because some within your ranks have had the courage to question the war in Iraq. Bin Laden, according to the right-wing talking heads, is getting his talking points straight from Howard Dean. They want you gone for good, Democrats, erased, destroyed, eliminated. So what are you going to do? Go sit in that filthy crap hole of a chamber that no longer represents anything about the United States of America or freedom or democracy or representative government? Is that what you're going to do? Is that what you're going to do, Senator Boxer, Senator Feinstein, Senator Kennedy? Senator Biden. Jesus. If you haven't read Will's piece, Democrats, Get Up and Walk Out, go to truthout.org. You'll find it. It's there. He wrote it, a few days ago. It's an excellent idea. Just get up and walk out. And if you don't have the courage for that, then don't show up. Phone in sick, because we're sick out here. You ought to see the emails I've been getting. And the comments that I've discovered, not just to this program, but all over the Internet. Different websites that have message boards and, what do you call them, Kathy? Groups, discussion groups. The rage, the fear. And the fear is legitimate. The anger. From Reg over at TV News Lies regarding my comparison of Bush and Hitler. Reg writes, don't apologize for the analogy, Mike. This is exactly the way Hitler began his reign of terror. I'm a child of the Holocaust. I grew up with firsthand accounts of the demise of the Weimar Republic and the denial and complicity of those who had not opposed the evils of the Third Reich. On a more visceral, level, I am now reliving the fears of my parents who fled to Germany from the pogroms of Poland. They felt safe there for so long until that 90-year democracy disintegrated in the dust of fascism. This country saved our lives and gave us safety and freedom, just as Germany once had given my parents. This was the golden land here in America, and we never ever stopped being grateful for the America of our hopes and dreams. And now, what was once America, the truly beautiful, is disintegrating in the dust of the New World Order of Bush and his handlers. We're at the mercy of men who have suckled at the breast of Nazism. I fear they have gone even further, for the weapons they have are even more ominous, and the disguises in which they shroud themselves make their evil intentions invisible to so many ignorant Americans. Don't allow anyone to minimize the similarities between Bush and the Hitler regime. Those of us who knew the era firsthand use the analogy every day. You offend no one who is willing to look with any honesty at what is happening. You're right, Mike. They are wrong, for they are caught in a self-serving time warp. They do not have a copyright on the term. Nazism and Bush have become interchangeable terms. Simple as that. From Reg at TV News Lies.
Welcome to Century 21 Plumlee. Whether you're thinking of vacation or relocation.
What was that? Is that Homeland Security? Trying to F up our program again? Huh? Section 605 of the House version of the Patriot Act renewal legislation calls for the creation of a federal police force. It is described as, quote, a permanent police force to be known as the United States Secret Service Uniform Division that can make arrests without warrant for any offense against the United States committed in their presence or for any felony under the laws of the United States if they have reasonable grounds to believe that the person to be arrested has committed or is committing such felony. Ms. Ben in Illinois writes, are these not almost identical to the powers given to Hitler's SS? So much for, quote, inalienable rights, end quote. Yeah, this is the letter written to Arlen Specter and Patrick Leahy by the ACLU in Washington, D.C. Carolyn Fredrickson, the director of the legislative office there, and Timothy Edgar, the National Security Policy Counsel for the ACLU. The changes to the USA Patriot Act are buried in Title VI of the conference report titled the Secret Service Authorization and Technical Modification Act of 2005, which was not a part of either the House or the Senate version of the bill. Despite its title, the new language does not merely make technical corrections, but rather makes major changes to the criminal statutes administered by the Secret Service that could seriously damage the free speech rights of all Americans. Have you seen this? Have you all seen this? The power that is being granted to this new Secret Service Federal Police Force slipped in to the USA Patriot Act. Now, once again, what? Are the Democrats in Congress and the Republicans in Congress going to say, well, we didn't know what was in it? That's why we voted for it. We didn't know. Here it is. It's on this radio program. It's in a letter from the ACLU to Specter and Leahy. Right? Huh? You like this? No, I don't either. Stay with us. Your phone calls when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
You know, it's amazing how many things you can do online these days. Plastic surgery online is still a few years off, but I bet they're working on it. And what about doing all your car insurance business online? Well, it's already here. At Geico.com, you can do most everything. Change drivers, change cars, change coverage, change your oil. I made that last one up. Geico.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hello. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, I'll reward you with $1,000, $100,000, maybe $1 million. But be warned, I can be a man.
Or a woman.
So keep your Ricola cough drops on hand.
For clues and official rules, go to RicolaUSA.com. No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game begins 10-105 and ends 2-2806.
Ricola!
Sake of peace in this world, the United States must maintain every advantage and weaponry.
about 22 past the hour. Let's go to some of your phone calls. Will is calling in, our young freedom fighter from Illinois. Will, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Will.
What's up?
You are.
Okay, what I wanted to talk about today was you mentioned that Bush was saying one thing and doing another, you know, the Clear Skies Initiative, where it was actually polluting the air, the
right.
No Child Left Behind Act not being funded, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
How does he get away with all this stuff? Do the congressmen just do everything what they do with the what they did with the Patriot Act, where they just don't read it, or what are they doing?
That's part of it. I think the other part of it, and probably the more critical part, is that American media, radio, television, and to a lesser extent, newspapers, allow Bush's lies to slide out of his mouth and cover the country with very little protest. And secondary to that is talk radio. Talk radio, which sadly is where, first of all, it's 99.9% neo-Nazi. Whether it is Republican-controlled or Christian-controlled, it's 99% neo-Nazi. Sadly, this is where, depending on who you want to believe, most Americans get 70% of their news or 80% of their news, or 90% of Americans get 80% of their news from talk radio. Whatever the statistic is, it's crazy, because talk radio is not news. It is propaganda. It is in its worst form, which is 99.9% of it. The other 0.1%, which is Air America and a few individual progressive or liberal talk show hosts around the country in both commercial and non-commercial radio, what we do or try to do is put the facts out, but we also vocally extremely oppose what's going on. So given all of this, the answer to your question, Will, is the reason the American public allows an abomination like No Child Left Behind to actually come into law is because they are grossly misinformed and willfully ignorant.
It's a pity.
Well, yeah, it is, and it's beyond pity. It is destroying the country, because what has happened, because the lies are allowed to circulate, because the sludge is allowed to cover the country. The average person in America who may not be a criminally minded neo-Nazi begins to believe that the whole system is screwed, and the whole system is not screwed. It's only that part of it which is controlled by Republicans. Oops, what did I just say? Oh my, they're right. The whole system is screwed, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right.
Well, do you speak Swedish?
Well... And the other thing, Alito, I've been doing homework most of the day. I haven't really heard much. Is it true that he actually got to the Supreme Court? Am I hearing this right?
What's going on is he was voted thumbs up out of the Senate Judiciary Committee, right down party lines, 10-8, whatever the hell it was, Republicans. And what began today are what are laughingly or jokingly referred to as debate on his nomination. Well, at the same time, the senators can go ahead and register their vote if they want to. So what's going on, what went on today, if you watched any of it on C-SPAN, it'll be there again tomorrow if you get a chance, you want to watch some of it, are various senators standing up and either abhorring this man's nomination or supporting it. But in the end, the Democrats will refuse to use the one tool they have that can be used effectively to rescue this Democratic Republic from the clutches of neo-fascism, and that's the filibuster. And the Democrats are not going to do it, Will. They're not going to do it.
I was about to say, so we're not screwed yet, but I don't think I'm going to say that.
Well, who was it? Was it Casey Stengel or was it Yogi Berra who said it's not over till it's over? I guess it was Yogi Berra. So it's not over till it's over. Not until the actual. Really, truly, no kidding, here it is, down the pike, final vote is taken and tallied, will it be over? And I don't think that that'll be until, what's today, Wednesday? Maybe Friday, maybe Monday coming. All right? Keep your fingers, keep your fingers crossed, but to hell with it. You know, keep your fingers crossed. This is America. We should be able to do more than keep our fingers crossed, right?
Bye.
Thanks, Will. Thanks for checking in.
Thanks.
All right, take care. We'll talk to you again. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America. Will is our 13-year-old caller from Chicago. I guess I should mention that. She took his ring, took his babies. It took him minutes, took her nowhere. Heaven knows he'd have taken in a finger. Sing once a young American.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricidin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricidin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricidin HBP. Use as directed.
A good news story from AliveGoodNews.com.
I'm passionate about two things, motorcycles and my grandchildren. But for the past 3 years, I've suffered from arthritis. The pain caused me to lose strength in my arms, and I couldn't pick up my grandchildren. My doctor suggested I try Aleve, and I definitely noticed a difference. With the pain gone, I've got the energy to pick up my grandchildren and have fun. It's fantastic.
Aleve invites you to share your good news at AliveGoodNews.com.
Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
Our apologies, but in the interest of bettering the future of your teeth, we're going to resort to a rather unpleasant tactic. Coercion. We will play the sound of someone grinding their teeth at night until somebody out there buys a doctor's night guard. Wear it at night to cushion and save your teeth. Come on. Somebody? There. Thank you, Kelly Kaplan of Paramus, New Jersey, for buying a doctor's night guard and relieving the nightly grind in the oral care section.
I thought you were done with our taxes.
I am, but now TurboTax can help us get even more from our tax refund.
Really?
Yeah. With TurboTax, we can use all or part of our refund for gift cards with a bonus of 10%, 20%, or more at over 50 major retailers.
Wow.
We can get more from the places where we'd spend our money anyway.
A bonus on top of our refund? I'm thinking power tools.
Or some new shoes.
DVD player.
Dinner out.
Barbecue grill.
New laptop.
Vacation.
Ugh, vacation.
Fees apply. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
I remember at the end of chapter 1 in 1984 that we read last night, Winston is writing in a diary. And he hears a knock on the door. As he put his hand on the doorknob, Winston saw that he had left the diary open on the table. "Down with Big Brother" was written all over it, in letters almost big enough to be legible across the room. It was an inconceivably stupid thing to have done. But he realized, even in his panic, he had not wanted to smudge the creamy paper by shutting the book while the ink was wet. He drew in his breath and opened the door. Instantly, a warm wave of relief flowed through him. A colorless, crushed-looking woman with wispy hair and a lined face was standing outside. "Oh, comrade," she began in a dreary, whining sort of voice, I thought I heard you come in. "Do you think you could come across and have a look at our kitchen sink? It's got blocked up," and it was Mrs. Parsons, the wife of a neighbor on the same floor. Mrs. was a word somewhat discountenanced by the party. You were supposed to call everyone comrade. But with some women, one used it instinctively. She was a woman of about 30, but looking much older. One had the impression that there was dust in the creases of her face. Winston followed her down the passage. These amateur repair jobs were an almost daily irritation. Victory Mansions were old flats built in 1930 or thereabouts and were falling to pieces. The plaster flaked constantly from ceilings and walls. The pipes burst in every hard frost. The roof leaked whenever there was snow. The heating system was usually running at half steam when it was not closed down altogether from motives of economy. Repairs, except what you could do for yourself, had to be sanctioned by remote committees, which were liable to hold up even the mending of a window pane for 2 years. "Of course, it's only because Tom isn't home," said Mrs. Parsons vaguely. The Parsons flat was bigger than Winston's and dingy in a different way. Everything had a battered, trampled-on look, as though the place had just been visited by some large, violent animal. Games, impedimenta, hockey sticks, boxing gloves, a burst football, a pair of sweaty shorts turned inside out, lay all over the floor, and on the table there was a litter of dirty dishes and dog-eared exercise books. On the walls were scarlet banners of the Youth League and the Spies and a full-size poster of Big Brother. There was the usual boiled cabbage smell common to the whole building, but it was shot through by a sharper reek of sweat, which one knew this at the first sniff, though it was hard to say how. It was the sweat of some person not present at the moment. In another room, someone with a comb and a piece of toilet paper was trying to keep tune with the military music, which was still issuing from the telescreen. "It's the children," said Mrs. Parsons, casting a half-apprehensive glance at the door. "They haven't been out today, and of course," she had a habit of breaking off her sentences in the middle. The kitchen sink was full nearly to the brim with filthy greenish water, which smelt worse than ever of cabbage. Winston knelt down and examined the angle joint of the pipe. He hated using his hands, and he hated bending down, which was always liable to start him coughing. Mrs. Parsons looked on helplessly. "Of course, if Tom was home, he'd put it right in a moment. He loves anything like that. He's ever so good with his hands, Tom is." Parsons was Winston's fellow employee at the Ministry of Truth. He was a fattish but active man of paralyzing stupidity, a mass of imbecile enthusiasms, one of those completely unquestioning, devoted drudges on whom, more than even on the thought police, the stability of the party depended. At 35, he had just been unwillingly evicted from the Youth League, and before graduating into the Youth League, he had managed to stay on in the Spies for a year beyond the statutory age. At the ministry, he was employed in some subordinate post for which intelligence was not required. But on the other hand, he was a leading figure on the sports committee, and all the other committees engaged in organizing community hikes and spontaneous demonstrations and savings campaigns and voluntary activities generally. He would inform you with quiet pride between whiffs of his pipe that he had put in an appearance at the community center every evening for the past 4 years.
an overpowering smell of sweat, a sort of unconscious testimony to the strenuousness of his life, followed him about wherever he went, and even remained behind him after he had gone. "Have you a spanner?" said Winston, fiddling with the nut on the ankle joint. "A spanner," said Mrs. Parsons, immediately becoming invertebrate. I don't know. I'm sure. Perhaps the children..." There was a trampling of boots and another blast on the comb as the children charged into the living room. Mrs. Parsons brought the spanner. Winston let out the water and disgustedly removed the clot of human hair that had blocked up the pipe. He cleaned his fingers as best he could in the cold water from the tap and went back into the other room.
"Up with your hands!"
yelled a savage voice. A handsome, tough-looking boy of 9 had popped up from behind the table and was menacing him with a toy automatic pistol, while his small sister, about 2 years younger, made the same gesture with a fragment of wood. Both of them were dressed in the blue shorts, gray shirts, and red neckerchiefs, which were the uniform of the spies. Winston raised his hands above his head, but with an uneasy feeling, so vicious was the boy's demeanor that it was not altogether a game.
"You're a traitor!" yelled the boy. "You're a thought criminal! You're a Eurasian spy! I'll shoot you! I'll vaporize you! I'll send you to the salt mines!"
Suddenly they were both leaping around him, shouting, "Traitor! Thought police! Thought criminal!" The little girl imitating her brother in every movement. It was somehow slightly frightening, like the gamboling of tiger cubs, which will soon grow up into man-eaters. There was a sort of calculating ferocity in the boy's eye, a quite evident desire to hit or kick Winston, and a consciousness of being very nearly big enough to do so. It was a good job that was not a real pistol he was holding, Winston thought. Mrs. Parsons' eyes flitted nervously from Winston to the children and back again. In the better light of the living room, he noticed with interest that there actually was dust in the creases of her face. "They get so noisy," she said. "They're disappointed because they couldn't go to see the hanging. That's what it is. I'm too busy to take them, and Tom won't be back from work in time."
"Why can't we go and see the hanging?"
roared the boy in the huge voice.
"Want to see the hanging? Want to see the hanging?"
chanted the little girl, still capering around. Some Eurasian prisoners guilty of war crimes were to be hanged in the park that evening, Winston remembered. This happened about once a month and was a popular spectacle. Children always clamored to be taken to see it. He took his leave of Mrs. Parsons and made for the door, but he had not gone 6 steps down the passage when something hit the back of his neck an agonizingly painful blow. It was as though a red-hot wire had been jabbed into him. He spun around just in time to see Mrs. Parsons dragging her son back into the doorway while the boy pocketed a catapult.
"Goldstein!"
bellowed the boy as the door closed on him. But what most struck Winston was the look of helpless fright on the woman's grayish face. Back in the flat, he stepped quickly past the telescreen and sat down at the table again, still rubbing his neck. The music from the telescreen had stopped. Instead, a clipped military voice was reading out, with a sort of brutal relish, a description of the armaments of the new floating fortress which had just been anchored between Iceland and the Faroe Islands. With those children, he thought, that wretched woman must lead a life of terror. Another year, 2 years, and they would be watching her night and day for symptoms of unorthodoxy. Nearly all children nowadays were horrible. What was worst of all was that by means of such organizations as the spies, they were systematically turned into ungovernable little savages, and yet this produced in them no tendency whatever to rebel against the discipline of the party. On the contrary, they adored the party and everything connected with it. The songs, the processions, the banners, the hiking, the drilling with dummy rifles, the yelling of slogans, the worship of Big Brother, it was all a sort of glorious game to them. All their ferocity was turned outwards against the enemies of the state, against foreigners, traitors, saboteurs, thought criminals. It was almost normal for people over 30 to be frightened of their own children. And with good reason, for hardly a week passed in which the Times did not carry a paragraph describing how some eavesdropping little sneak, child hero was the phrase generally used, had overheard some compromising remarks and denounced its parents to the thought police. The sting of the catapult bullet had worn off. He picked up his pen half-heartedly, wondering whether he could find something more to write in the diary. Suddenly he began thinking of O'Brien again. Years ago, how long was it? 7 years it must be. He had dreamed that he was walking through a pitch-dark room, and someone sitting to one side of him had said as he passed, "We shall meet in a place where there is no darkness." It was said very quietly, almost casually, a statement, not a command. He had walked on without pausing. What was curious was that at the time, in the dream, the words had not made much impression on him. It was only later and by degrees that they had seemed to take on significance. He could not now remember whether it was before or after having the dream that he had seen O'Brien for the first time, nor could he remember when he had first identified the voice as O'Brien's, but at any rate, the identification existed. It was O'Brien who had spoken to him out of the dark. Winston had never been able to feel sure. Even after this morning's flash of the eyes, it was still impossible to be sure whether O'Brien was a friend or an enemy. Nor did it even seem to matter greatly. There was a link of understanding between them, more important than affection or partisanship. "We shall meet in the place where there is no darkness," he had said. Winston did not know what it meant, only that in some way or another, it would come true.
They sentenced me to 20 years of boredom for trying to change the system from within. I'm coming now, I'm coming to reward them.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey in the zone.
10 before the hour. The Alito thing is particularly infuriating to me from the standpoint of having to rely on the Senate Democrats. Remember what the Senate Democratic leadership has been telling us? Every time they have confirmed another right-wing neo-Nazi federal judge, remember what the line has been? Oh, well, we don't want to do anything now. We're saving the ammunition for when something really, really critical comes along, and then we'll filibuster. Then we'll stop it. Then we will act like true Americans. In the meantime, we're going to roll over so the Republicans can scratch our tummies and throw us a bone. Okay. And didn't you believe them, Democrat? I sure did. Reluctantly. What were the choices? Believe them? Don't believe them. Okay, I'll believe you. So here it is. And what are the Democratic leadership, what is the Democratic leadership in the United States Senate doing? Nothing. Nothing. The Democrats don't seem to understand that the Republican Party and the Bush crime family and the neo-Nazis who now control this country will not be satisfied until every Democrat in the House or the Senate is gone. Now, I know the right-wingers love that. You little Nazi bastards, you love it, right? You're like your hero, George Bush. You little sneaky cowards, you love it. Let's get rid of the Democrats. Because after all, it's only a sports contest. We win. We win. What? What? They're at the door for me, Helen? I'm a Republican. What? Somebody's at the door with a warrant for me. Oh, it's not a warrant. Oh, it's a gun. Why are they in a uniform? Why are they? Helen, I'm a Republican. What? Because I did what? Because I cheated on my income tax. It's coming, you little Nazi rats. It really is. Let's do a phone call here before the break. Let's start with Michael, who's calling in from Dallas. Michael, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Yeah, greetings. Good evening, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. It's great to have you. So good for Exxon, too. The local affiliate kicked you to the curb, so.
Yeah, well, we just... We were way too strong for any radio station in the Dallas area, and thank God for XM. You bet.
Yeah, I love it. Anyway, this Alito guy's a freak, isn't he? He's just a total. I mean, can we say he's the most radical Supreme Court nomination in 100 years since Reconstruction?
I would think I would use a word other than radical, but I can't because our program also goes over public radio, public radio waves. But yeah, I hear what you're saying.
The decency for the floor of the Senate, even that's not enough to cause a filibuster. I would hope somebody better call for that vote, because if there's 8 of these weasels who won't support a filibuster, we got to know who they are at a minimum. You know?
Yeah. Well, I think we do know who they are. If nobody starts a filibuster, then we know all 44 of their names. It is the Senate Democrats, and I don't give a damn how they vote on confirming this Nazi. That doesn't matter. The vote is superfluous because they are in such a minority. All they need is 51 votes, and the guy is confirmed.
Right? The only tool they have in the shed is this filibuster vote. They've never taken it out. I don't even think they know how to. We don't have great senators anymore. You know, like Moynihan. He knew how to use a filibuster, right? Or Humphrey.
Well, we don't even...
for him, but you know, great senators are gone. We don't have a single one who will stand up and use the only tool they have.
Well, I hear you, Michael, but, you know, greatness is really not needed right now. What's needed is a respect for the Constitution. What's needed is a determination not to allow this country to continue to slide into fascism. That's all that's needed. That doesn't require greatness. That requires somebody like you or me or Harry Reid in the United States Senate to say no, this far and no further. Michael, thanks for checking in. We have a break coming here. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate you calling. But all it takes, you see, is one senator, just one,
That's all. And that senator can stand in the well of the Senate and begin talking and declare, if he wants to, that he's not going to stop talking until this nomination is withdrawn. And then what you would expect would be other senators to fall in. But I guess there's some Senate rules now, especially in the minority party. Maybe it's just Democrats. But they need 41 senators, 41 of the 44 Democrats, to approve a filibuster. And they don't have that. Of the 44, I believe Reid keeps saying he has like 36. And the other eight Democrats, like Mary Landrieu and Byron Dorgan, nah, we don't think so. This isn't that important. Nah, I don't want to do this because, you know, if I do, then when I run for the Senate again, the Republicans will run attack ads and say that Osama bin Laden is my mama, and I can't fight back. No, let's not do it. Let's not do it. Let's not do it. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. You cowardly piss ants. I would rather deal 24/7 with Republicans than deal with Democrats who don't have the courage to stand up. My God. So you want the names of the people who, if there is no filibuster, you want the names of the people who are responsible? Take a look at the Senate Democratic Caucus, and you will find 44 names, and every single one of them is responsible.
On Air America Radio.
Hello. I am the Ricola Mystery Coffer. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, I'll reward you with $1,000, $100,000, maybe $1 million. But be warned, I can be a man
or a woman.
So keep your Ricola cough drops on hand.
For clues and official rules, go to RicolaUSA.com. No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game begins 10-105 and ends 2-28-06. Ricola!
What's your idea of good news? How about being on a free cruise with your friends and family? Aleve, the pain reliever devoted to providing good news for people with arthritis, is offering you the chance to win a 7-night cruise for four on a luxury ship. Visit AleveGoodNews.com to enter. While you're there, read all the good news Aleve users shared with us, and maybe you can share some of yours, like winning a free cruise, for example. Visit AleveGoodNews.com.
No purchase necessary. For rules and free entry info, call 800-353-3343. Sweepstakes ends 130-106. U.S. residents 18 or older. Void where prohibited. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. President Bush Wednesday visited the top secret National Security Agency in Fort Meade, Maryland. During his visit, Bush praised the people who work for the NSA, calling them fine patriots who are making America safer. Bush has come under scrutiny for authorizing the NSA to eavesdrop on Americans. Some claim he does not obtain the proper warrants. Vermont Senator Patrick Leahy called the program a covert illegal spying program on Americans. As the full U.S. Senate prepares to vote on Samuel Alito's nomination to the U.S. Supreme Court, last-minute protesters are hoping their voices are heard. Jim Smith reports from New York.
The National Organization for Women in New York City is hoping to urge Republican women to step up, call their senators, and oppose the Alito nomination. President Sonia Osorio says it's not too late.
Anything could happen. This has not gone to a vote.
And Mina Elias fears Alito will roll back women's rights.
I think Judge Alito will be a disaster for the United States and a disaster for choice.
In Midtown, Jim Smith, New York.
The first Palestinian parliamentary election in a decade is in the books. While Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas's Fatah party is expected to hold on to power, the militant group Hamas is projected to win 30% of the vote. The Bush administration reiterated its refusal to deal with Hamas, calling it a terrorist organization. President Bush echoed that sentiment in an interview with the Wall Street Journal. Washington State's top attorney and software giant Microsoft are going after companies that use deceptive and misleading emails to sell their software. On Wednesday, they announced parallel lawsuits against a New York firm. The 16-count suit alleges Secure Computer in New York State used deceptive spam, misleading advertising, and misleading computer scan results to frighten users into purchasing its spyware cleaner product.
For example, they would misrepresent the level of threat that was actually on the user's computer to trick them into thinking they really needed to download this spyware cleaner tool that they were selling for $49.95.
Tim Cranton with Microsoft's Internet Safety Enforcement. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
back. It's about 7 past the hour. So this is what it gets down to. One person, one man, one woman in the United States Senate who has the courage, who has the strength, who has the decency, who has the necessary remaining belief in keeping this country a democratic republic, to stand up in the United States Senate and to say, no, this is not going to happen. This is not going to happen. And then it requires 40 more senators, or however many it takes, to join in and say, that's right, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. What are the chances of such a scenario playing out in the United States Senate in the next 24, 48, 72 hours? Slim and none. What a shame. All right, let's go back to phone calls here, starting with Craig, who's called in from Boone, North Carolina. Hey, Craig, welcome to the program.
Greetings, Mike. How are you?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
Good. Thanks for saving my wife and I $100 in therapy fees a week. I appreciate that.
Sure.
I told you that last time I called in. I've never really called in programs before, but I just want to tell you that Linda and I greatly appreciate all that you and Kathy are doing. This is critical.
Well, thanks. But keep in mind, we are nothing more than a conduit.
I understand that.
But we've got it out here, and then we rely on you folks, the people that send us emails and articles and phone calls. So, but yeah, okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly go over a couple things. Just a little story. I'm 52, and in 88 I was in Germany, and in Munich, and I was with a group of people, and I stayed behind to be with an elderly German woman. Okay, she was in her 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm telling you this quickly is this is what got me into researching fascism. After everything that happened.
Right.
And keep in mind, everything you're talking about on the program. Well, I'm sitting there, and she comes out with this. Hitler, no bad man. The people who went to Dachau were criminals and should have gone there.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew enough German and she knew enough English so we could talk over, cake and coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And she kept going like that. My husband made so much before Hitler, then he made so much after Hitler, and the bankers took my grandfather's land and everything. And I went, oh, my God.
Yeah, well.
So I went into a whole researching, and also with Native Americans, what happened there, which doesn't get talked about, which... And then we're up here in Boone at the university, and informally I'm starting to talk to students just in coffee shops. You get into a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And the more one reads, you understand that children in school have been kept, either unconsciously or on purpose, history and fact-free.
Oh,
that's
sure.
That's the first thing. And the other thing we have going on is they don't see patterns. They don't see cycles. They don't see, if you say, well, do you know what Operation Paperclip was? No.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the other thing that I think is critical in this country, and I've read one book I'd like to recommend, is The Anatomy of Fascism by Robert Paxton. That's an excellent starter, and it's got a great bibliography in it.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things is we don't do shadow work in this country, either individually or as a country. This John Wayne crap, it's we're the best, we're the... And when something, and you hit this all the time, Mike, where, 300,000 or 400,000 indigenous people were butchered in the Philippines in 1899. No one knows about that. It's this kind of thing. And what I'm trying to do is come up with a new keyword for, fascism, like with students, it stops them from clear thinking. What are you talking about?
Right.
So I'm trying to come up with a new word to bring them in. And it's not power, it's not totalitarianism, because those words don't mean anything to them. I haven't come up with it yet. But when you start to go underneath and share with them, and I want to hear more what they have to say than what I do, and I just start to ask them questions.
Well, you're trying to find a term then to identify the policies.
Well, when you say a word like neo-fascism,
right?
it has an energy to it. And a lot of times what I find is people, oh, that's not us. See?
Mm-hmm.
You know, no, that's not us. That's Germany, or that's Mussolini, or Franco, or... Wait, and then you have to wait a minute.
Well, there
How
should
about
be.
If I say corporatism, that's a good one, but that doesn't mean anything.
No, that doesn't. As a matter of fact, they might go along with that. Yeah, I want to work in corporate America. How about trying some, come up with some sort of word that includes at least as a prefix or a suffix or part of a hyphenated word, the word death.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Death.
Because it destroys individuality. It destroys individual creative thought. That's why they go after the artists and the musicians.
Right.
Because those people are telling the truth, like Harry Belafonte when he, no, I'm not backing down, U-boat man. That was great.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw it not as it was happening, but I saw it on a slice of tape. You know, remember the painting Guernica about the bombing of the Spanish city by the fascists? How it was removed. Or it was covered up or something because Colin Powell couldn't stand in front of it, or was it Ashcroft? It was somebody in the Bush crime family in the first go around where the painting Guernica was right there, and they couldn't handle it. And they had it removed, they had it covered, they moved where
they. I think it was Ashcroft.
I think they moved. Well, he had the breasts of the naked breasts of liberty covered.
There's sexual repression in all of this too.
But already, you see, the Bush crime family cannot stand the artists and the poets and the writers and the playwrights and the screen.
Exactly, Mike, you're so right on.
But they do like American Idol. One would assume. Hey, listen, good to hear from you, Craig. Thanks for checking in. I know you don't call that often, but I do appreciate your email, so do take care, okay?
Okay, and I don't want to pester you with the emails.
No, keep them coming.
Okay, thank you for your time, sir.
Sure, that's the energy of the program. Appreciate you checking in. Remember, you folks know that the Bush crime family is refusing to provide to the bipartisan Senate commission that's trying to investigate Katrina any information whatsoever, right? You know that. This is at Think Progress, but it's all over the Internet. For nearly 2 months after Mike Brown was forced to resign from FEMA for his incompetent response to Hurricane Katrina, he continued to collect his full $148,000 salary as a consultant. Why was Brown retained? According to FEMA spokeswoman, it was so he could fully cooperate with the investigation into what went wrong. Now that this pig has cashed his checks, he's refusing to cooperate with the Senate investigation. Can you believe this? Brownie continues to talk about the issue, but only for a fee. He recently keynoted a storm response conference and provided what was touted as insight and perspective on Hurricane Katrina and Rita. And senators investigating the issue could have attended for the low price of $375. Can you believe that? Do you understand what this pig, this filthy, degenerate bastard is doing? This racist attack perpetrated against the people of New Orleans by the Bush crime family after that city was inundated with a flood that the Bush crime family knew would occur. Days before this hurricane ripped through the Gulf Coast, they knew that the levees would not hold. This was an act of pure racism. Do you understand that? This allowing... Can you remember the images? Have you forgotten already, Truth Seeker? Miles of black people begging, pleading, dying in the streets. And the Bush crime family knew it. They knew what they were doing. It was racism purely and simply. And now Brownie will charge $375 a head to come in and listen to him tell you how to respond to a hurricane. Well, if it involves black folk, how you respond to a hurricane? Make sure you look good on television, stay out of the way, and let the Negroes die.
That's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school. And what did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned our government must be strong. It's always right and never wrong. Our leaders are the finest men, and we elect them again and again. And that's what I learned in school today.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Dear Gold Bond, I'm a hairstylist, and washing hair all day really wrecks my hands.
Listen to this real letter from Nikki of West Virginia about our Ultimate Healing Lotion.
Since I found Gold Bond Ultimate, my hands haven't cracked once.
Gold Bond Ultimate Healing Lotion penetrates fast to help heal rough, cracked skin with 7 intensive moisturizers plus 3 vitamins. It's long-lasting, too.
Now I show off my hands to all my clients.
Can your lotion do that? Gold Bond Ultimate Healing Lotion.
This stuff really works.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful, and all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth, put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Relieve the nightly grind with the doctor's night guard, now available in 3 sizes at Walgreens and other fine stores.
Mention yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
Thank you.
22 past the hour. Jen is calling from California. Jen, welcome to the program. We'll get her in a minute. There she is. Hey, Jen.
Hello, Mike. I called you once before with the Minutemen with when their cell phones are jammed. I haven't called you, but I listen to you all the time. I'm a big fan of yours. I'm calling from San Diego, California.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to talk to you. I hope I can send you a copy of the lawsuit that I filed, a $110 million lawsuit for two moms who were illegally wiretapped. And I filed it in 2002, January. And in that year, and I've heard you say it, and it's true, a secret U.S. district court said it was illegal to conduct covert activity to two moms.
Right.
And the story is pretty complicated, but it comes out with they're wiretapping to instill fear and terror and to stop the free speech. I was the web builder of internet websites, I'm a little nervous, for the abuse of my former federal workplace.
Uh-huh.
And I'm originally from New York City. I'm a Latina. And the other girl, the mom, was from Ohio, or is from Ohio. And with the illegal wiretapping, she used to write to the Congress and Senate, so we were learning that they had a great disrespect for the Congress and Senate at that time. We couldn't believe what was happening. But with illegal wiretapping, they misused their covert powers, and they listened and eavesdropped that mother suffered from cardiac disease.
Uh-huh.
She was 80 years old, and they brought her to a massive stroke after they telephone harassed her and gave her death threats. They surveilled us. They did all the stuff for the secret police do, but I got them on a videotape, and it was really, really, we were terrorized, but then we thought this was just too jerky, and so we filed a lawsuit against a telephone company who brought in on a no-warrant covert device to my computer room. Because I was a web builder, they did all of this to get me off the Internet.
Right. Jen, you need to tell me where you're going with all this, okay?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. It's just I know this is a big deal for you and for the people involved, but you can synopsize it by saying you've got this lawsuit filed because back 3-4 years ago, the spying was going on. I'm just afraid that people are going to be listening and go, okay. What's your point?
Oh, well, I guess it's just really too much to say, except that when Bush came out with this stuff now.
Yeah. It kind of validated what you're doing for these two women, right?
Yeah, no, it's just her and myself. We organized with them and went to Washington D.C. and we came home to all these atrocities.
Right.
They just committed crimes against citizens. So with their wiretapping now, there's no Al Qaeda at anybody's house. They're wiretapping to terrorize people, keep them in fear, and to stop the free speech. Randy Rhodes today said that she went shopping with her daughter, and when she came back, she's reading her email and says, girl's gone shopping. Those are the kind of jerky tactics they use. But they are terrorizing because you know you're being surveilled.
I know. I completely understand, and I'm just as angry and frightened of all this, Jen, as you are. Thanks so much for checking in, okay?
Okay. Mike?
Yes?
Is there any way I can send you a copy of this?
I never read lawsuits. They make my eyeballs bleed. I just can't do it, okay? The legal language that's necessary.
It's pro se, and anyway, it's over with. It's just, I just wanted for you to see the
sense. Well, I believe you, and I get a lot of these. People send me stuff like this, and frankly, I have to just toss it out because I get overwhelmed by things to read. I just can't do it. I'm not trying to be a smartass, Jen. I'd rather you not send it. If you insist, send it to me via email. I'd just rather you not because I can't read it. It's just too much. I can't read legalese language anyway.
No, really, my point of the whole thing was that also I wanted to tell you that during September 11th, during that week, they called up our house and said, watch out, 1080. That's a federal law enforcement code for explosion. So the whole story is absurd. And you had Mark Crispin Miller on with you, and he was talking about it the other day, and I missed him on the radio.
Yeah, well, I definitely hear what you're saying. Thanks, Jen. Got a boogie. There's the music. Thanks for checking in. I just can't do lawsuits. I can't. If you have any plans on sending me a lawsuit that you're involved in, you know, please don't. if you can synopsize it in three or four sentences and you want to share it with everybody, that's cool, but we'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Honey?
Yeah?
Can you keep the kids busy? I'm doing our taxes.
Oh, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Well, what about deductions?
Found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on the sofa?
What?
The kids.
No, I remembered them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy. Taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
Hello. I am the Ricola Mystery Coffer. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, I'll reward you with $1,000, $100,000, maybe $1 million. But be warned, I can be a man.
Or a woman.
So keep your Ricola cough drops on hand.
For clues and official rules, go to RicolaUSA.com. No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game begins 10-105 and ends 2-2806.
Ricola!
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, we eliminate the middleman? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricetin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricetin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricetin HBP. Use as directed.
We'll be right back.
And now a soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy. And I don't even
drive, no, no. 26 before the hour. Couple of quick emails here. This is from Jim in Louisiana. He writes, "Dear Mike, hang in there and watch your back as long as you're able. There's an army of us out here, hurting, fuming, itching to take effective action against this tide of fascism and Nazism that's taking over our country. Several thoughts come to mind this evening. Remember the lines spoken by Gene Simmons in The Robe?" She's talking to Caligula, the character Caligula. And her line is, "If there is no evidence of my treason, let me supply some. I have no desire to live another hour in an empire ruled by you. Once the Caesars were noble, but you have trampled their memory in the dirt." Jim goes on, "I have a son in the United States Army, and I'm extremely proud of him. The events of the past few months have prompted me to post him a message that basically tells him never to disgrace himself by ever obeying an order to fire on Americans. Yes, I think it will come to that in the streets of America soon. I told him to remember the tragedy of Kent State. I also told him that if he ever considered firing upon Americans, to aim carefully because his own father would probably be in the front line. Damn, I hate these Nazis too. Keep broadcasting as long as you can until the Gestapo comes to get you. Who will we listen to then? Al Franken?" Thanks, Jim. Oh, and then there's a quote here from Sinclair Lewis. Is this, what's this from? It can't happen? No. It can't happen here. The quote is, "When fascism comes to our shores, it will come with a flag in one hand and a Bible in the other." Oh, my God, is that true? And I think Reg send me the information? It was in February 2003. And it was Colin Powell, it was his February 5th presentation of the American case for war against Iraq to the UN. And it says here, "In an act with extraordinary historical resonance, United Nations officials covered up a tapestry reproduction of Picasso's anti-war mural Guernica during Powell's presentation. Picasso's painting commemorates," you all know this, but I'll read it anyway. "Picasso's painting commemorates a small Basque village bombed by German forces in April 1937 during the Spanish Civil War. The painter, in desolate black, white, and gray, depicts a nightmarish scene of men, women, and children and animals under bombardment. The twisted, writhing forms include images of a screaming mother holding a dead child, a corpse with wide-open eyes, and a gored horse. Art historian Herbert Reed described the work as, quote, a cry of outrage and horror amplified by a great genius," end quote. Yeah, Colin Powell had it covered up because of the obvious resonance. There's some speculation as to what will be the word most spoken by the Bush bastard when he gives his speech. When is it, Tuesday night, Kathy, coming? Odds are it's going to be the word protect. Protect. I'm here to protect you. But Chris emails in, Mike, the Boston Globe printing an article about Gonzalez's view of the spying justifications. The writer, Charlie Savage, ended with a quote from Scott McClellan. McClellan says, quote, "We always look at what authorities we have in order to move forward and to prevent attacks from happening. The Constitution spells it very clearly that the role of the president is to protect Americans from all enemies, foreign and domestic, and the terrorist threat is the number one threat that we face," end quote. You know, which is just absolute stupidity and bull droppings. The Constitution says the following. "Before he enter on the execution of his office, he shall take the following oath or affirmation. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States." And then Chris signs off by saying, "Am I missing something here?" No, you're not. But the Bush crime family is. Because what Scott McClellan, this waddling little bastard, understands, and what every member of the Bush crime family understands, down at the lowest level of their bowels is that most Americans have no idea what the Constitution says about anything. What was it? How long ago was it when a random sampling of Americans, was it in the street? Was it in a college class? Where was it? Where the first 10 amendments to the United States Constitution were written down in contemporary language, presented to the people who were being surveyed. And the question was, look at these statements and tell me which ones you agree with, or tell me which ones you think represent communism, or tell me which ones are something you couldn't do. They were the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. In other words, the Bill of Rights. And I forget, what was the percentage, Kathy? 38, 42, 69? I forget percent of Americans to whom these were presented in common contemporary language who said, oh, damn, no, that's bad stuff, man. What? Yeah, The Bush crime family, being the evil, nasty, filthy Nazis that they are, they understand the Goebbels playbook. They understand about the big lie. They understand about repeating something over and over and over and over again until the proles believe it. That's the key. Just keep saying it over and over and over again. Don't ever let up. Don't ever let up. I'm protecting you. I'm protecting you. 9-11 Iraq. 9-11 Iraq. 9-11 Saddam. 9-11 Iraq. 9-11 Iraq. 9-11 Iraq. 9-11 Iraq. And a huge percentage, it's not 51% any longer, but a huge percentage of the American public believes it, Jesus, God. Now, is this the fault of the Bush crime family? Partly. And partly this degenerate media that we have. Oh, and the third leg of this stool, the Democratic Party leadership, who does nothing effective to stop this. Nothing. And I challenge the Democrats out there who just get so pissed off when I get in one of these rants about Democratic leadership, about how ineffective, about how counterproductive it is, about how enabling it is for these Nazis. I just want you folks to watch what happens in the next 2 or 3 days. If any Democrat, if the Democratic Party in the Senate asserts itself and stops this, then it will give rebirth to my belief that the Democratic Party may have a chance to rescue itself and the country from pure hell. But if they do not, are you Democrats going to still send me your irritating emails? Oh, come on, Mike, don't! Jesus Christ, you're worse than the Republicans! We need to hang together! Hang is the right word. You're just using it incorrectly. So we'll see what happens, huh? And if the Democrats now, who have been the Democratic leadership that has been promising us, haven't they? Haven't they been promising us? Haven't they? Come on, nod your head. Thank you. They've been promising. Well, we're not going to resist Priscilla, whatever the hell her name was. We're not going to resist this thug from Alabama who insisted on... all these appointees, these neo-Nazis for federal judgeships. No. We're not going to resist that. We're not going to filibuster that. We're going to wait until there's something real important, and then we will resist, and we will stand up, and we will fight back, and we will filibuster if we have to. By golly, we will. Right, guys? Right, yeah, okay. Yeah, right, okay, yeah, sure, yeah, right, okay. Here we are. Here it is. Here's the big one. Here it is. You know my prediction. The Democratic Party leadership will once again collapse, faint, hide,
noises, pass gas, burp, scratch their butts, look off into the distance, play with their pencils, twist their hair, call a lobbyist. That's what they'll do.
We have to oppose this move to fascism. Why, I've been in the Senate for 5 terms and I've never seen such a thing. Hallelujah.
You going to filibuster?
No. Can't filibuster? No. Can't do that. But Lord have mercy, this is terrible. You'd think that the Republican Party wouldn't be this evil.
You going to filibuster?
No, of course not. But I'll tell you what, those damn Republicans, all the time, boy, they just do it. You know what? Back in my home state, I'm always in the 4th of July parade that goes right down the main street of our capital. Yes, I am. And I got a flag and a band marching behind. You know I believe in America.
Are you going to filibuster?
No, of course not. But you know those damn Republicans. I can't believe it. Look what, boy, one after another. First Priscilla, and then that colored lady from out there, and now this guy. What is he, Italian?
You going to filibuster?
No, of course not. But I'll be in that parade on July 4th.
Tired of fighting. Tired of fighting. Fighting for love.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful. And all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth and put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Relieve the nightly grind with the doctor's night guard. Now available in 3 sizes at Brooks Pharmacy, Eckerd Pharmacy, and other fine stores.
Have you experienced a random act of kindness? Someone you haven't seen for years suddenly come back into your life? Do you know a positive story that inspired or motivated you? Aleve invites you to share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com. For years, Aleve has been devoted to providing good news for people with arthritis pain. Now, Aleve invites you to share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com.
Use it directed for minor arthritis pain.
We'll be right back. End your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
10 before the hour. Now, if you still want to give it a shot, real quick, write these phone numbers down. You need to call and demand the filibuster. Write the phone numbers down. They're both toll-free numbers, 888-355-3588. 888-355-3588. And the other one, 888-818-6641. 818-6641. You can try. Huh? 888-355-3588. Or 818-6641. Those are capital switchboard numbers. Just tell the operator which senator you wish to speak to, and you will be connected. You want to do it? 888-355-3588 or 888-818-6641. Capital switchboard. Hi. Thanks to the crew who assisted in getting this program over the air tonight in New York City. Justin Yuen, Zach Marsh, and resident rock star Jason Isaac, all engineered. D. Neal in New York City is our associate producer. And also maintains, answers the phones and maintains the blog at airamericaradio.com/Mike Malloy. When it gets posted! Also, our senior correspondent is Chris in Minnesota. Mark Marshall is our webmaster. Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, archives the program. And Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. And a special shout-out to our moderators at MikeMolloy.com on the message board. Catherine Bays, our executive producer. Marcus is calling from Columbus, Ohio. Marcus, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how you doing, man? It's been a long time since I talked to you.
It has been a long time.
Yeah, the oligarchs ain't got me yet. But the point I want to make real quick is this Chuckle Nuts, Bunny Pants clown, you know, that he needed to be relegated back to his, the Lazy W bicycle ranch in Crawford. But
I hear that.
He's a war criminal, and America needs to stand up and extradite him. America thinks they're the only ones who can extradite people over here to stand trial. Well, this clown, Condoleezza Rice, trying to start this war in Iran, which is going to give you $150 a barrel of oil and a whole lot of other problems.
Mm-hmm.
Iran's going to make a stand. They done took all their money out of European banks. So they're serious. They're not backing down. Okay? And here's the problem with it. Iran could make a case when America uses Israel. It's a military outpost in the Middle East and helps them attain nuclear weapons. And they turn around and help the former Nazi regime in South Africa get nuclear weapons. Iran can make a case and say, hey, no, you're not the ones to be telling us anything.
Well, any country, we don't even have to put Israel or South Africa into the mix. Any country on the planet that is technologically advanced to the point where it wants to develop nuclear reactors, I would think, has a right to do that, whether we like it or not. We had 50 years of mutual assured destruction with the Soviets, and we learned something. We learned, you know, if you want to rattle the bear's cage, you better be prepared to have the bear reach out and rip your damn head off. So everybody was kind of cool. We fought our wars in Central America and Southeast Asia and Africa. That's where we fought our wars. We would never go head-to-head with the Soviets, and they wouldn't go head-to-head with us. We almost did in Cuba, but everybody backed down. So Iran, here's Iran sitting on the fourth largest oil reserves in the world, knowing that either the United States or China or India or Russia or somebody is going to come knocking on the door one day and say, yo, give us your damn oil. And Iran is saying, when that day comes, we're not going to be defending ourselves with, shotguns and rifles and scimitars. We're going to have nukes. So, for the U.S. or the U.K. or the Chinese or the Russians or the French to tell another, or the Israelis to tell another country, you can't have nuclear weapons. Oh, get out of here with your damn hypocrisy.
Yeah, I know, and they're going to lose big time on this one here because there's just so many things that the Iranians can do and that they don't know about.
You know? Right, and don't misunderstand me, Marcus. I hate nuclear weapons. I hate the fact that this planet could turn into a cinder if somebody feels froggy and somebody else says jump. So, you know, I hate nuclear weapons. I hate what we've done. I wish the Iranians and the Israelis and the Brits and the Americans and the Chinese and the French and whoever the hell else has nuclear weapons would give it up. But they never will, because the human race is sick. The human race is degenerate. It's time for a cleansing. It's time for Gaia to say that's enough and shake everything off her back and maybe start over again. I hate to say that because I've got a baby. I don't know what else to say. I don't know how else to think about it. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. But hey, Mike, you know we got to get ready to do some street justice on these clowns. When I was growing up back in Kansas, man, we used to beat Republicans up just for the fun of them. Keep them in line. You know what I'm saying? It's time to roll back to the times of the 60s and start beating them up again. You hear that, Republicans? We're coming after you, punks, because y'all weak, y'all scared, and you're cowards. And get beat down.
Whap, whap, whap. Right, whap, whap. Thanks, Marcus.
All right.
Take care, brother. Thanks a lot.
Well, I just have to say to that, in the words of one very butch macho Republican, Lindsey Graham, we're going to clean your clock.
Lindsey,
come over here, I'm going to bite you on the ankle.
Yeah, now, see, Marcus is going to be condemned for saying we're going to get back the old days and beat some Republican ass. And Lindsey Graham sits there on national television on that committee, that little sweet little apple polisher sitting there going, you want to have that debate? We'll clean your clock. You clean my clock, huh?
Slow down. I'm almost caught up to you. Stop running.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Let me get out of here and hug my baby. Hey, listen, thanks for participating tonight. However you did that, you right-wing lurkers, do you ever get up the courage? Give us a call. Love to hear you defend this sick bastard that sits in the White House. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care, okay? Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.